Again, it's good to see all of you, and good that you have come out this morning to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we are in this Thanksgiving mood, I'm preparing for Thanksgiving on Thursday, and every day ought to be Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for, but Thursday will be the day that's been set aside as Thanksgiving, and a lot of people will be miserable by Thursday evening, having sinned, the sin of gluttony, eating too much, but it'll be a great time to spend time with family, and most of all, just the time to spend time saying thank you, and really genuinely thanking God for what He's done. We ought to be in that mindset all the time. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him," or give thanks to Him, "and He will direct thy paths." Again, in Psalm 118:1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." Again, in 118:29. Then in Psalm 136, verse 1, 2, 3, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever." At least 75 times in the King James Version of the Bible, the word thanks is seen. Most of those are encouraging us to give thanks to the Lord for what He's doing. It's important to give thanks. And then if you include the word thanksgiving, it brings that total number to more than 100 times that thanks and thanksgiving is recorded in the Bible. Then you could go with thankful and add more. But over 100 times in the King James Version of the Bible, the word thanks or thanksgiving is used. And it's most of the time encouraging us to be thankful to God, to give thanks to God for what He's done and continues to do. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, He says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Psalm 50 and 14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Psalm 95, 1 through 2, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name. O Most High, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." So we see that according to God's Word, the Bible, we should be thankful. We need to be thankful for all that He's done for us. And if we're thankful, truly, we need to let it be known. There are many people that we need to be thankful to. Well, obviously, God's number one in that list, whether you acknowledge it or not. But we should show our thankfulness to those who have helped us along this journey called life. There are many people that are involved in our lives that we really need to be thankful for. And we need to let them know that we are thankful. That's quite a list of those, and I've noted a few of them. Certainly not an exhaustive list. But we could start with our parents. Our parents have done so much for us. They've provided for us. They provide food, clothing, housing. They hopefully have provided some discipline along the way. That's kind of getting short nowadays, and that, not enough of that provided by parents. And I would include not just parents, because a lot of our children now are being raised by grandparents and other guardians, and we need to be thankful for them, for the person who has provided for us, who has provided the necessities of life for us, are just basic needs like food, clothing, and housing. We need to be thankful to them. We ought to be thankful for our teachers. I know a lot of us didn't particularly care about going to school. I was in that list. Wasn't my favorite thing to do. There were a lot of things at home I'd rather be doing. You know, even if it was hoeing cotton or picking peas or working in the garden, I'd rather be out doing things than I had going to school. But it was a necessary thing, and I'm thankful for those who suffered with me and put up with me and tolerated me when they were trying to teach me something, when a lot of times I didn't particularly want to learn anything right then. I'm probably the only one in the house that was that way, but most of you, I'm sure, went like a sponge and just soaked up everything the teacher said. And whether or not you were like me and you really didn't want to learn, or whether you were one of those that was soaking it up like a sponge, we need to be thankful to those that that took their time to try to teach us. And it's a necessary thing, you know, for us to be taught. And those teachers put up with a lot, more seemingly now, because of the way things have gone with discipline being so difficult. Now, when there's no discipline at home, and a lot of parents don't want their children disciplined, so it makes it really difficult for teachers. So we really need to say thank you to our teachers and our administrators in the school system. We need to be thankful for our military. We enjoy a lot of freedoms today because of our men and women who have given their time, and many of them lives, to provide for the freedoms that we enjoy now. And we ought to be thankful. I mentioned that just recently about how, you know, when you see someone who is either in uniform or maybe wearing a cap that indicates that they have served, or for any reason that you know that they have served in the armed forces, we need to take the time to say thank you. We don't need to just say thank you to all these people. We need to show them by our actions that we are thankful for what they've done. Of our first responders, our police, our emergency medical personnel, firefighters, and other community servants, many of which are volunteer. They volunteer the services and to try to help take care of our needs when we have a need, no matter what time of the day or night it might be. And we ought to say thank you to them. We ought to act like we appreciate them. We should show them that we are thankful for what they do. Might be just simply somebody that's just been there to encourage you when you were going through a difficult time. Any of you ever been through a difficult time? You don't have to raise your hand. I know that every one of us have. We've all been through difficult times. And there have been people that have come along in our times of difficulty, and maybe just an encouraging word, or it might have been just somebody that was there just to be there, a listening ear that wasn't trying to tell you that they understood all about everything you're going through, just there to support you and encourage you as you went through a difficult time, whether it's a time of loss or a time of sickness or whatever that time might be. People have been there for us to encourage us and to help us along. And so we need to be thankful for those. Too many times we fail to even say thank you. And more importantly, many times we fail to act like we're thankful. As a matter of fact, sometimes people seem to act like they really don't appreciate what you do when you've done it. Sometimes I think God feels that way a lot of times, because so many times we are we're not as thankful as we ought to be. Or we may tell somebody that we love the Lord and we think are thankful for what He did, but what we do is what tells the truth. Mom always said, actions speak louder than words. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever had anybody, I'm sure you have, somebody tell you how much they love you and appreciate you when you can feel the knife sticking in your back while they're saying those things. You know, empty words. No action to back it up. And so we need to be thankful for what people have done for us. Another really important person that we need to be thankful for, if we are Christians, is the person or persons who was responsible for sharing Jesus Christ with us. The person who took their time to tell us that God loves us, that He loves us enough, that He was willing to give His only begotten Son, and Jesus loves us enough that He was willing to give His life to pay our sin debt. We ought to be thankful for the person or persons who took the time to share with us, to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with us, and let us know so that we could know the truth of God's Word, and so that we could accept that gift of salvation and have that hope beyond this life. You know, the Bible says if we have hope if in this life only you have hope in Christ Jesus, you're all men most miserable. So if you don't have hope beyond this life, you know, if nobody's shared or if you've not accepted that gift of salvation, then you can be a miserable person. You will be a miserable person if you've not accepted Him. And so we have so much to be thankful for. But how many times have we failed to communicate that? How many times do we take things for granted? You know, we just think, well, they know I appreciate them. You know? Kind of like the man who has been married several years, and his wife was complaining one day to him and said, you know, you don't ever tell me that you love me anymore. And he said, well, I told you that when I married you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Is that what we want most of the time? I mean, it's one time. Do we not want, doesn't it feel good when somebody takes the time to say thank you, or better yet, doesn't it make you feel good when somebody actually shows you that they appreciate what you do? You know, all of us have done something for someone, and it makes us feel good. Not that we do that for the thanks, but it certainly makes us feel good, and we appreciate it when we have maybe gone out of our way to help someone or do something for somebody, and they take the time to say thank you, and more importantly, they take the time to show us that they appreciate what we have done for them. And so, God wants us to communicate with Him. If we really are thankful, He wants us to communicate that with Him. This morning I want to look with you into God's Word, at a situation that many of us, most of us, are probably familiar with, the particular incident. It's recorded over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, where we see recorded in the Scripture the account of 10 men who were lepers, 10 men who had leprosy. And they came to Jesus, and they asked Him for healing, and He healed them. And only one of them had time to say thank you. It kind of reminds us of the way things are now, don't it? Leprosy. These 10 men had leprosy. Leprosy, many of you have no idea that leprosy is still a thing now. Actually, I didn't until I did some studying. But leprosy is still a thing. It's not called leprosy now. It's called Hansen's disease. It's a long-term infection. And I know y'all are going to all understand these few words I'm fixing to give you, medical terms, so y'all will all understand that, I'm sure, probably more than I do. But it's a long-term infection by the bacteria Mycobacterium leprae, or Mycobacterium lepromatosis. And it's an infection that can lead to damage to the nerves, respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. This nerve damage may result in lack of the ability to feel pain, which can lead to the loss of parts of the person's extremities from repeated injuries or infection due to unnoticed wounds, and might even lead to one's death. Kind of reminds me of someone who is severely diabetic when they lose feeling in their extremities, in their feet and their hands, and many times they'll get some infection. They'll step on a nail, say, and they don't feel it, so they don't know it. It gets infected, and they still don't feel it until it's so far gone that many times they wind up losing a toe or a finger or a foot or because they didn't feel the pain when they were injured. And it just kept getting worse and worse, and so they lose parts of the body. Scientists currently think it's transmitted when a person with leprosy coughs or sneezes, and a healthy person breathes in the droplets containing the bacteria. Kind of reminds us of what we just heard about a few years ago, don't it? Something we still hear about some. It's called coronavirus, you know. Put those masks on you that don't catch the little droplets, but forced everybody to wear a mask and things, and a lot of other things that were ineffective for cure. They were effective in causing further problems, but not in helping the cure. But another message for another day. But anyway, so that's how scientists think it's transmitted nowadays. Apparently back in Bible day, they thought maybe it was a little bit transmit. Because if you had leprosy, of course, when you started having sores, you were sent to the priest, and the priest would examine you and when it was advanced to a certain stage, the priest would declare you unclean because of the leprosy, and you had to stay away from people. You had to you couldn't live in the house with your family or others that were clean. You had to get away from them, isolate yourself. As a matter of fact, if you were out in the outdoors somewhere and somebody started coming towards you and got close to you, you had to start calling out unclean, unclean, letting people know that you were leprous, that you were diseased, and they didn't want to get close to you because you didn't want to give them this leprosy. And so that was the protocol in that day, as you go to the priest and the priest declares you unclean, and so you had to stay away from folks. That's found in Leviticus. If you want to look that up, it's in Leviticus, in 13th and 14th chapter, you'll read about leprosy and how you were supposed to conduct yourself, things you were supposed to do. I'm kind of amazed at the similarities with the symptoms of leprosy and the symptoms of sin. The effect that leprosy has on you and the effects of sin. Let me give you those symptoms of leprosy again. It's an infection that can lead to damage of the nerves, respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. The nerve damage may result in lack of ability to feel pain, which can lead to the loss of parts of the person's extremities from repeated injuries or infection due to the unnoticed wounds. According to medical experts, leprosy is thought to spread by droplets from the mouth or nose. Many people are led into sinful lifestyles by the false teachings that come out of someone's mouth. It's that false teaching that people are spreading that leads some people into some serious sinful habits that they get into because some false prophet, some false teacher is leading them down the wrong road. Many times that person will take your Bible and take your own Bible, and they'll take a scripture from over here, and then they'll flip over there and read a little piece of scripture, and then somewhere else and read a little piece of scripture, and put a lot of little pieces together to make it sound like and say what they want it to say. And they're misleading you, and they're spreading a false gospel. They're spreading lies and leading people down a wrong road because of the things that are coming out of their mouth that are misleading others with those false teachings. And even some well-meaning individuals will mislead you, having been blinded by Satan. And so let's look now at the scripture in Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. And reading through verse 19 to see if we can understand this just a little bit better. Luke chapter 17, beginning verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This is Jesus. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Remember? They couldn't come close. They had to call out unclean so people would know. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They recognized him. They knew who he was. And they knew what he was able to do. And they called out to him and asked him to have mercy on them, to heal them. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." That was the other end of the leprosy. When you were cured of the leprosy, before you could get back out in the general public, you went back to the priest and were declared clean. And so Jesus said to these 10 men, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't wait till they got to the priest before they were cleansed. They were healed immediately as they left Jesus, as they began to go towards to see the priest. They were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. One of them, when he was healed, when he realized that he was healed, he turned back and he started giving thanks to God, thanking God for answering his request, thanking God for healing him of this terrible disease called leprosy. And he fell down on his face. Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so here we find there were 10 men who came to Jesus asking to be healed. He healed all 10 of those, but only one of them had time to say thank you. Only one of them came back to say thank you to him. So when you're living in sin, you're spiritually unclean. Sin affects us and corrupts our whole system. The symptoms of leprosy mention the nervous system. It can damage your nerves. You can't have peace. You cannot have true peace outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's impossible. As long as you're living for Satan, you'll never have true peace. Because true peace only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus will give you peace. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. There's a peace just in knowing that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you don't have to fight your battles anymore, that God will fight your battles for you. He will take care of you. You just trust Him, like the scripture in Proverbs that I mentioned earlier, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We don't have to worry about those things anymore. When we face obstacles, when we face trials and tribulations, which we will face as believers, if you're a believer, you're going to face some trials and some tribulations. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, He said, I have overcome the world. And so Jesus is the one who can give us that peace. And when we have genuinely trusted Him, committing our lives to Him, allowing Him to have control of our lives, we know that He will take care of us. We have no need to worry about anything. You know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Through Christ, I can do all things. And so we have no need to worry and fret when we've trusted Jesus to be our Savior and allowed Him to be Lord of our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, he says. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't that sound peaceful? But there's no peace outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't find that peace anywhere else, but you can find it in Jesus Christ. And so, sin causes nerve damage, nerve problems. There's no peace. You can't be in peace. And secondly, you lose the ability to feel pain. The pain of conviction. You know, the longer you live in sin, the harder your heart grows, and you get your hearts hardened, and you get where you don't feel conviction anymore like you once did. And there may come a time when God just turns you over to a hardened heart, so that you don't even feel the conviction anymore. That's the pain. That's what sin does to us. We get to where we don't even we don't feel the conviction. And when you don't feel the conviction, then you allow the infection to grow even more. You know, it's kind of like with the leprosy. When you lose that feeling, then you know, injuries, things, you get injured, you don't know it because you don't feel the pain. And so it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Not only does it affect your nervous system, it affects your respiratory tract. You breathe out ungodly thoughts, vocabulary, not godly. Use the same profanity and vulgarity that the world uses. It's amazing how the language that many professing Christians use. You know, if you hear them talking outside the church, and I've been so really amazed at some of them that will even use some of that language in the church. But when you see that person outside the church, out in the world, and if you hear them talking, you would never, ever have any idea that they had ever even heard about Jesus Christ. Certainly they're not a professing Christian with the language they're using. They're using the same filthy language, the same vulgar language, the same profanity that the world uses. And so there's no indication that they are believers, because it sin has corrupted what comes out of their mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A lot of times I've heard people say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. It just slipped out. If it ain't in there, it don't slip out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so, normally when it slips out, it's because it's in there, and it has not been taken care of. And so we need to get rid of that and stop using that. Stop allowing Satan to have anything to do with us and influence us with that sin disease. And so it affects your nervous system, it affects your respiratory tract, and then thirdly, it affects your eyes. You allow the lust of your eyes to have control of your being, because you no longer heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Remember, you don't feel the pain of conviction anymore. And so now you begin to allow things that you see you dwell on those things, the lust of the flesh, pride of life, those things that you allow to happen because of that sin that's in your life. So you allow the lust of your eyes to have control of your being because you no longer heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But thankfully, you know, sin is a terrible disease. It is a terrible disease. But thankfully, it's not incurable. You know, leprosy was a terrible disease. And still is a terrible disease. Whether you call it leprosy or Hansen's disease, it's a terrible disease. Sin's a terrible disease, but it's not an incurable disease. And for that, we're thankful that sin can be cured, and it's just as simple as what the example we saw in Luke chapter 17. When these 10 lepers came to Jesus, recognizing who He is and who He was, recognizing Him as the Son of God, as the one who gave His life to pay for our sins, when we recognize that and we come to Him, And it's simple as repenting of our sins and accepting what He's done for us. That our sin nature can be done away with. We can be forgiven of that sin. That disease can be cured because we have asked Jesus to forgive us and to save us. Isn't that what these lepers did? They came to Him. And they lifted up their voices, verse 13 says, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's what you need to do today. If you're suffering that disease called sin, you simply need to say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Help me to live for You. And then you can be cleansed and saved and no longer be inflicted with that sin called leprosy. Call out to Him today. It's not just because you've joined a church or because you have a baptismal certificate. Many people are depending on that to get into heaven. That's not where it's at. Yes, it is important that when you trust Jesus to be your Savior and allow Him to come Lord of your life, it's important for you to identify with a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, to get actively involved in a church, to follow in believers' baptism. But that's not the thing that cures the sin problem. The thing that solves the sin problem is when you genuinely commit your life to Jesus Christ, believing in Him and trusting Him and allowing Him to have control of your life, and then it will be demonstrated in the life you live. The way you talk, the places you go, the things you do, you know, all that are indicators. When you really become thankful to God and you begin to show that by the way you live your life, the things you do, the places you go, being actively involved in His work, promoting the gospel through the local church, not just in the local church, but out in the community, doing those things, that sharing Jesus Christ with others and helping people in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said in verse 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's the key, is that we, if we really have accepted His gift of salvation, then we're going to want to do the things that honor Him. We're going to want to obey Him and do the things that honor Him, that lift up the name of Jesus Christ. So, how about you this morning? Are you one of the nine that only come to church when it's convenient, when you don't have anything else to do, or, you know, are you one of the ones? You really thanking? Are you really thankful for what God's done for you? Do you really believe that Jesus did love you enough that He gave His life to pay for your sin debt? How are you showing Him that? What kind of life are you living? And I pray that you are one of the one today, not one of the nine, but you're one of the one. One that acknowledged, recognized how blessed you are because Jesus has forgiven you and saved you. And you've come back to Him to give Him thanks, and you're living that thankful attitude. So, what are you thankful for today? Who are you thankful for? Do the ones that you really are thankful for, do they know that you're thankful? Whether it's God, or your parents, or your neighbor, or whoever it is that you really are thankful for, do they know that? The only way they can know that is if you've told them, and most importantly is if you're showing them by the life you're living, by the way you treat them, by the things that you do to show your thankfulness. God loves you. God has demonstrated that, not only in giving His only begotten Son to pay for your sin debt, but He continues to demonstrate His love every day, providing for your needs, protecting you, taking care of you. For that, we need to be thankful. Father, I love You. Thank You today. Thank You for this season of the year when we're reminded of how thankful we need to be. But God, I thank You for every day of every year that You bless us. Lord, You provide for us. You protect us from harm and danger. You meet every need that we have. Lord, when we, You've promised us that if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that You will provide for all of our, even our material things, our food, clothing, and housing. Lord, You've been so good to us. Lord, we can never do enough to show You the proper amount of thanksgiving for You. Lord, help us every day of our lives to live our lives in a way that our life says thanksgiving, says thank You for all that You do. Help us to be thankful to others and to communicate our thanksgiving to others who have helped us along the way and who continue to help us along the way. Lord, bless these that are here today. I thank You for each one of them. God, I just pray Your blessings on each one today. If there's one here that has a need, one who's never trusted You to be Savior, one who has you're dealing with about a particular calling, or whatever the need, I pray that as we take a few moments, Lord, that they will surrender to You, and Lord, that we'll leave here more thankful than we've ever been, and showing You more effectively than we ever have, that we genuinely thank You for all that You do for us. We love You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. If you're here and God's spoken to you, there's something you need to take care of this morning. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you'd like to do that today. There'll never be a better time than today to do that. Maybe you're here and you have other needs. If you just need prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. Others would be glad to pray with you. Whatever the need, if God's spoken to you, if there's something you need to take care of it now before you leave here today. And begin to be more thankful than you've ever been before. We can always improve. No matter how good we've been at something, if we practice, we can improve and get better at it. So let's practice being thankful genuinely to those who have helped us, and especially to God.